Hello, and welcome to this broadcast for Sittingbourne Baptist Church Youth Sunday School. That's for Sunday the 5th of June. Hope everybody's okay, keeping well, keeping safe, and enjoying it if you're going to school, even though it's different, but staying safe, even if you're staying at home, and doing the best you can to get through this pandemic. All right, so before we go any further, let me introduce myself. My name is Kuda. I'm one of the Sunday school teachers and also one of the deacons at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. And so I normally enjoy teaching Sunday school, and I have been enjoying all of these broadcasts that we have been doing. So today we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments, because we're doing a series all about what Christians should know. I just thought that if there are any suggestions of things that you would like to know as a Christian, as somebody who believes in God, who goes to church, who might be, you know, there might be questions that you have. If you do have any, then ask your mom or dad to help you, to send them in to the website, to the email address, which is youth@sbc-church.org.uk. Or parents can help you to phone into the church office, and Bev will take a message for me, and I will broadcast a response to any questions you might have. So I know it's a bit difficult where I can't see you, I can't see your responses, I can't answer questions straight away. But if there is anything that you want to ask, you can always ask your parents or ask them to listen in with you, if that helps. So before we go any further, we're going to play our little guessing game. And it's just for fun, so try and do your best. 5 points. And the points go down as I give you more clues. So for 5 points, I am thinking of a fruit that you eat. So, of course, that's different to the fruit of the fruits of the spirit, which we spoke about 2 weeks ago. So this is a fruit that you can eat. For 4 points, it's best eaten in the morning, because it is quite acidic, which means that it has a lot of acid and could affect your stomach. So it's better to eat it in the morning and not late at night. For 3 points, there are lots of different types of this fruit. One of them is called blood. One of them is called navel. And one is called Valencia. So, do you know what fruit that could be? For 2 points, this fruit is high in vitamin C and fiber. Is that helping at all? For 1 point, this fruit is part of the citrus family. So does that help you to guess what it could be? If you guessed that it was an orange that I was thinking of, then you are correct. Well done. It's just for fun. No points or prizes, I'm afraid. Just the satisfaction that you have of knowing that you were right. So today we're talking about the Ten Commandments. If you remember the story, Moses went to Pharaoh so that he would let the Israelites leave Egypt, where they were working as slaves, and go to a land where God wanted them to be free, to worship him, and free to spend time following the laws that God had laid down. And of course, there was a bit of a fight because Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. Eventually, he did, and they left Egypt and went out into the desert. Now, while they were in the desert, we're going to pick up the story in in the book of Exodus, God calls Moses up to the mountain, and he is there for 40 days, spending time with God and finding out what God wants people to be doing. And when Moses comes down, he has the Ten Commandments written on a tablet of stone. I must just clarify at this point that God's laws are more than Ten Commandments, okay? These are the ten main things that people look at, really, as the important commandments that God gave. But God did give us lots and lots and lots and lots of laws and how to live, how to worship him, how to stay on his good side, really. And all of that is in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Those books deal with a lot of communication between God and his people, and he's telling them how to live good lives. Now, some people do find the Ten Commandments to be rather heavy and rather difficult to follow, but God meant them to help us to live a better life and to know what his intentions were and what the things that he wanted us to do and how we can live better with other people, right? So, okay, so if we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image of in the form of anything in heaven or on earth beneath or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Okay, that was verse 17. So when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, he found people misbehaving. They had taken gold, all the gold that they had brought out of Egypt, and melted it down, and they turned it into an idol. They turned it into an ox, like a cow, and they were worshipping that and praying to it, and you know, they literally just turned it into an idol that they gave all their attention and their time into, and they gave it lots of power. They acted as if it was the most powerful thing, when the most powerful thing is supposed to be God. And so that was obviously a sin against God. And when Moses saw this, he was very, very annoyed. And he took the Ten Commandments and he had these tablets of stone in his hand with the Ten Commandments where God had written them in the 40 days that Moses had been up on the mountain, and he threw the Ten Commandments down and broke them. And so we find that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 to 17, Moses goes back up the mountain again, and God gives him another set of the commandments, two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written down. So there are two versions of it in the Bible. When people think of the Ten Commandments, you know, as I say, that some people do find them to be very, very difficult. But as we go through them now slowly, you'll find that, I don't know, they can seem like they're difficult to do, but if we are using some of the fruit of the Spirit that God puts into our hearts, these should be things that we should want to do anyway. These are things that, as Christians, we should be looking to do. So if we look at the first one, God establishes himself and he reminds people what he has done for them. He said, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. As people these days, we don't really have so much in terms of slavery, but we do have things that make us work, or things that make us do certain things because we want a certain outcome. So like, maybe we might want something that we don't have, like an Xbox maybe, or a television in our room, or a special type of phone or something like that. And we might be a slave to it, in that we want it so much and we want it so badly, we think it is the most important thing in the world. So God can help us to come away from that sort of thinking, because he helps us to realize that the breath that we breathe and the things that we have, you know, our heart beating, our health, our life even, all of that comes from God. Our siblings, if we have any, our parents, our relatives, friends around us, all of that comes from God. And when we realize and we put God in the right place, we won't put anything else above him. We won't love other things more than we love God. We should love God as the most important thing in our life. And that's why, like, the first commandment is saying, you should have no other gods before me. This is God speaking. So he's saying there shouldn't be anything else that we want, or that we worship, or that we give attention to more than him. If it's a choice between going to church and worshiping God and spending time with God, or praying and football, we should choose church. If it is a choice between going to church, worshiping God, spending time with God, praying, singing songs to God and all of that, and playing with your favorite toy, we should choose God. We shouldn't have other things that we treasure or we value more than God. He is, you know, he is the best thing for us. It goes on further to say that you shouldn't make anything an image and worship it. You should not bow down to worship anything else. Now, we're not really into the bowing down and worshiping sort of era, but at that time it was very, very relevant, because sometimes people had a little room in their house where they would keep their special things, and they would go in there and have a shrine where they would put different things and they would worship them and they would pray to them and give them their attention and ask questions to help about life and other things. So they were worshipping those idols and they were worshipping other things. Some people consider that people that go and watch a football match really is more like a joint worship of that football team. And that is what God is trying to make sure we don't do, that we don't give our heart and our love to anything else apart from him. Because he says that, because we get everything that we have from God. The second commandment is slightly similar, but it's also looking at the name of God. And it says, you must not misuse the name of God. And that is like, sometimes people use Jesus or God's name in a bad way when they are speaking. They use it as if it was a swear word. And you might have heard them or you might not have heard them. But as you get older, you might understand this better. And we shouldn't do that. And so, you know, we just have to be careful how we are using God's name. And to remember that God is not, you know, somebody that we see every day. He is unlike any other relationship that we have. He's not like your friend that you can tend to be very, very pally with. But on the other hand, he is your friend. He wants you to be comfortable in his presence and to enjoy spending time with him, just like you would do a friend. Although God is not there for you to cry on his shoulder, he does want you to go and give him all your problems and tell him anything that is hurting you or making you feel sad or anything that you need. He wants that. But then at the same time, we have to understand God's position, that he is right up there, really, you know, in the hierarchy of life. God's position is way, 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 way higher than our position. So we shouldn't try and take advantage of that and try and take advantage of the love that he has for us. And we should not use his name in a bad way. The third one says that we should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you can work, but on the seventh day, God rested from making the world. So you should not work. And this can be a little bit difficult to do in this day and age now, because before England and the UK, we were very good at keeping Sunday as the day of rest. And no shops would be open. Very few activities will be happening on Sunday. It'll be very quiet on the street and all of that. But now, shops are open. Things take our time and our attention, apart from going to church. Because before, people used to use Sunday just for going to church. And that was very much in keeping with what God was asking us to do here. Remembering that Sunday is a holy day and that we should keep it just for spending time with God and worshiping him. We should not work. We shouldn't encourage other people to work. We shouldn't do any shopping or things like that. But that might be a bit difficult for us to do now because it's part of the society and the culture that, you know, shops are open on Sunday. Some people have to work on Sunday. If you work in a hospital or if you work in supermarkets or places like that, you might still have to work. So it's difficult for us to really keep that as a holy day. But I think a way that you can sort of like maybe find another way around that is to make sure that on Sunday you find some time to spend with God. I know, like, sometimes my son has football matches and they're played on a Sunday, and they used to be played at the same time as church. So we used to go to a church that used to have a service at 4 p.m. And that worked out very well because I wanted to keep Sunday for God. And God helped me to find a way to balance that out. At the Sittingbourne Baptist Church, normally we have an evening service. And although it won't be quite the same as a Sunday school service, it's something that you could think of doing to find another way of making sure you give that time to God. So I suppose it doesn't really have to always be in the morning. You know, church doesn't always have to be in the morning. It can be later on in the day. And that's how we as a family managed to sort of get around that, to make sure that we went to church on Sunday. So those three, the first three commandments are all about respecting God. And it just shows you how important that is, because the first three are saying, you know, do not worship any idols. You should have no other gods but me. You should not disrespect my name, and you should keep the Sabbath day holy. I've sort of like made it as if they are four, but they are not. They're really three. Where it says that you will have no other gods but me. Do not make idols. And keep. No, there are four of them. Four, sorry, that are the first four. You shall have no other gods but me. Do not misuse God's name. Keep the Sabbath day holy. And do not make idols. So those first four are all about God, just to show you how important it is that we respect God and we keep him as the most important thing in our life. So then after that, the fifth commandment is the only commandment that's actually here that has a promise at the end of it. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So honoring your father and mother is very, very important. You have to respect where you come from and the people that raise you. I know it says father and mother, but I'm sure we can take this or interpret it to mean the people that raised you and the people that love you, show you love, provide for you as you are growing up. Because some people might not have fathers and mothers for different reasons, or they might be brought up by grandmas or other people around them that love them. If you honor those people, God will give you something back. He will help you to live a long and happy life. And that's really, really important. So how do you honor your father and mother? One of the things you could do is to do the things that they ask you to do and to show them respect, whether it's at home, in private, or in front of other people. Do what your parents ask you to do and respect them and show them that respect. Because really, God gives us our parents. We don't get to choose. And parents don't get to choose the children they're going to have. So that connection is made by God. And he has a good reason why you have the parents that you have. There is so much that they can teach you. So we should respect our fathers and mothers. Maybe as you get older, it might be that you have to, you know, enjoy Father's Day like we did. You know, we had Father's Day a few weeks ago. You know, Mother's Day, recognize those days. But don't just leave it for those days alone. Also, show love to your parents on other days of the week. Make them cups of tea or, you know, help around the house. Don't always wait to be asked to help with the things that you know need helping with. That's very, very important. So honoring your father and mother could take different, it could mean different things. So that is important to do. And God promises that if you do that, you will live a long, happy life in the land that God is giving you. Then we have some very, very short, we have three short statements. The sixth commandment says, you shall not murder. Do not murder. Okay. So taking someone's life, killing someone else, is not a good thing to do. And that will stop you living well with other people. That is so true. Similarly, if you don't honor your father and mother, things could get very horrible, could go rather horribly wrong for you in your life. And to be fair, God has told you what to do. Honor your father and mother so that you will live a long, happy life. If you do not live a long, happy life, it might be because you did not honor your father and mother. And you would not live well with them if you do not show them the honor that they deserve. Then the sixth one is do not murder. So this is helping you to live better with other people If you go around killing people, somebody else might kill you back. Okay, that's not a good cycle to have. And of course, the law is there as well. The police would come and have to deal with you, put you in prison. Not very nice. The seventh one, do not commit adultery. Now, adultery is something that you might have to discuss with your parents a bit more, but it is about sleeping with someone that you are not married to. So you have to make sure that, you know, you have, you sleep with the right people in, you know, the person that you're married to. So this is really to help make sure that the delicate and strong relationships that you have are with the right people. Okay. Then the eighth one, you shall not steal. Stealing, obviously, it's wrong because you're taking something that does not belong to you. Also, you are depriving someone else from what belongs to them. I remember a time when I had some money stolen from me. And when I was praying about it, I said, you know, Lord, I would love to get that money back because I had a purpose for it. And I need you to make that person who might have taken it understand that, you know, I needed this money for a very, very good reason. And I need it back. And I did get that money back. Somebody who had found my wallet handed it to the police with all the money in it. So I was very, very grateful. But we should not steal. We cannot just take things that do not belong to us or things that we know we're not supposed to have at that time. You might think it's only a small little thing, but it can so quickly build up and lead to even worse things happening. Like it will break up a relationship of trust with other people. If people think that you steal, then they won't really want to relate to you, even in your home. People that would feel that, oh, well, you know, I don't know if he's going to take something else from me. Okay, so do not steal. And the ninth one is you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. So the quick and easy way to say that is do not lie. So do not lie about other people. Do not lie to other people. I don't know if it's happened to you, but certainly if I've ever had time when I haven't told the truth or I've sort of like twisted things a little bit so that I don't have to tell the exact truth and I tell maybe what they might call a white lie, but it's still a lie. I've often found that it's not worth it. And before I know it, that lie will lead to another lie. It'll lead to another lie. And that's a lot of effort trying to keep all those things together in your head to remember what you lied about the first time and then what you lie about the next time. And you build up on this lie and it keeps growing and growing. It's a lot of effort, really. It's just better to tell the truth, even if the truth is not going to help you outright. Or it's not going to make you look great. But you have to accept that that is where you are. That is the truth about you and the truth about your life. And maybe it might even encourage you to try and change things so that you are living a better life. But there's no good reason to lie. I can't think of a good reason to lie, because even if you lie and you think you're making someone else feel better, it's always better to tell the truth. It just doesn't work. It's better to tell the truth and then you don't have that burden. You don't have to carry the weight of a lie. Just be honest and tell the truth. Right. And then the last commandment that we're reading here today, it says, you shall not covet. COVET. This is a very old-fashioned word for envy. That's when you want something that belongs to someone else. And usually, when you have those feelings of wanting something that belongs to someone else, it leads you to do something that is not very good. It might lead you to steal. It might lead you to kill. It might lead you to do something that is not trustworthy. And on here, it gives a list of what was valuable to Moses and the Israelites at that time. They talk about your neighbor's wife. You do not envy your neighbor's wife or his servants or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Those things obviously are not of great value to you at your age. You won't have a husband or wife. You don't have any servants. You don't have any ox or donkey. But it does say anything that belongs to your neighbor. And your neighbor could be your sibling. It could be a brother or a sister. You shouldn't envy them for what they have. It can be difficult to celebrate somebody getting something that you are praying for. I remember a time when I was praying for something. Let's say I was praying for an Xbox. And then I really, really wanted that Xbox. And I've been praying that, Lord, please can I have an Xbox? I'll be really, really good. And I'll try and save the money to be able to buy the Xbox. And then if I hear that my friend next door got an Xbox, it can be very difficult to handle some of those feelings. And I would feel envy. I would feel jealous of my neighbor and, you know, his Xbox or her Xbox. But really, we have to try to work really hard to celebrate with people, even if they get the things that we want and we don't have it yet. It's good to just celebrate what God is doing in other people's life. It can help you not to feel jealous of them and not to envy them for what they have got. Everybody has to live their own lives. And you get your own reward. You can't have a reward that belongs to someone else. And you shouldn't want a reward that belongs to someone else, because that person could have gone through a lot of difficulties before they got to the stage of getting that reward. Just work on having and accepting and enjoying what you have now. Usually it's enough. It's usually enough. It's just a matter of changing how you look at things. So those are the Ten Commandments. Now, in the And I'm just opening my Bible to it now. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Okay, so a man came to try and trick Jesus. And he said, "Good teacher, what things must I do to get eternal life or to go to heaven?" And Jesus said, "Why do you say that I am good? Only one person is good, and that is God. If you want to go to heaven, you must keep the commandments." And the man said, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you must honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And this man says, "I've done all of this. What more do I have to do?" And Jesus said, "Try and be perfect. Go and sell all of the things that you have and give them to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me." But the man who asked these questions was very sad because he was very, very rich. And that is the time when Jesus talks about the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. And he adds on here, I mean, some of the ones he talks about, we know about. We've just spoken about them. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Honor your father and mother. And then he adds on this bit, love your neighbor as yourself. That bit is new to us. Now, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will not kill our neighbor. We will not commit adultery and have bad relations with other people. We will not steal from our neighbor if we love them as much as we love ourselves. And we will not lie about our neighbor. And we will treat our father and our mother with respect, and we will honor them because we love ourselves. I think every person is very good at looking out for themselves. You know, if there was the last chocolate, you would want to have that for yourself. Or the last, I don't know, whatever thing it is that you might enjoy eating or drinking. You would, if there was the last little bit of that left, you would want to have it. So we do love ourselves. We do look after ourselves. We care about ourselves. And Jesus here is telling us that we should love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And we should look out for our neighbor and look after them as much as we look after ourselves. So if our neighbor did not have something, then we would be willing to share what we have with our neighbor, or to give them what we have. And then to cover all of the other bit about God, Jesus tells this young man, go and sell all of your possessions, go and sell all the things that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Now, this part here is showing, if you were to give away everything that you have, you would have to trust only one place to get them back, and that would be God. You would be completely reliant on God. You'll be relying on God to give you food in the morning, food in the afternoon, and food at night, because you would have given everything that you have to the poor. That means your best shoes, your best clothes, your best toys. If you give all of those things away, you're really putting all your trust in God. And those are the things that Jesus talks about in the New Testament when he talks about the Ten Commandments. So I do have a song. I do have a song about the Ten Commandments. Last week, the Armor of God song that I recommended, we had a lot of fun with it in my house, and a lot of dancing going on with that. It seemed to have been a very well chosen song. And that wasn't my arrangement, really. God just helped me to choose a very good song. I can't take full credit for that. So today the song that I'm recommending is called The Ten Commandments Song for Kids. It has a red and yellow background, red and orange background on it when you look on YouTube. So I hope you find that helpful in reminding you of the Ten Commandments. That's what the songs are supposed to do, apart from sticking in your head and maybe you dancing to them like 7 or 8 times. Hopefully it doesn't annoy anyone in the house, but they are supposed to remind you of these important Bible things that as a Christian we should know. I hope you found that useful, and I hope you enjoyed that the talk on this, and I hope it blesses you. Okay, so let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Ten Commandments that you give and other commandments that you give in the Bible. Help us to understand them and to want to learn more about them. Help us to think about them and to see how we can apply them to our lives. And bless every person that hears this, O Lord, and bless them to have full understanding. And I hope that I spoke into their life and helped them to enjoy listening and learning about the Bible. Thank you, Lord, and bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Right, I hope you enjoyed that. Stay blessed, stay safe, and Do take care. Bye.